today on Real Radio.
For the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So when it speaks of sleep, he's talking about the appearance and the seeming attitude of the body, not the person who occupies the body. That part lives forever, and that's us, who we really are.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Part 1 begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul now takes a break from instruction about holy living to teach on prophetic doctrines of the Bible. The return of Jesus Christ is a coming event that Paul shares in every chapter of his letter. His desire was to bring hope to the church that death was not the final act. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that throughout history, the mystery of death has captured our hearts and our fears. It was assumed that we cannot escape death, but Paul tells us that there is hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There are at least three things where Paul warns us in his epistles throughout the Bible not to be ignorant. Don't be uninformed of something. He tells us, do not be ignorant concerning demonic activity in your life. What is the church ignorant of today? Demonic activity. Paul says, don't be ignorant, church, concerning spiritual gifts. What is the church ignorant of today? Spiritual gifts. Paul says, church, don't be ignorant concerning the destination of the dead. And how many of us suffer with a lack or a loss of hope because we don't know what happened to them? The truth of the matter is, we don't know what the Bible says. We need to know, and we're going to know by the time we come through this. Very important. He tells us here, he says, don't be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Their sleep as a Christian, as a believer of the body, their bodies placed into the ground. But what Paul is going to show us is that that's not true concerning their spirit. I am an ignoramus. That's what when somebody says, I'm an agnostic, it means that God is probably out there and could be known, but I refuse to know him. Well, that's real smart. I have more respect for an atheist than an agnostic. I mean, look in your dictionary. I am an ignoramus. You don't want to be an ignoramus. I am intentionally ignoring something that's available to me. And in this case, it is the existence of God. Paul says, I don't want you to be an ignoramus concerning the dead. How many of us know somebody who's dead? Raise your hand. Paul says, don't be dumb about what happens after death. That's the command of God. There are at least three things where Paul warns us in his epistles throughout the Bible not to be ignorant. Don't be uninformed of something. He tells us, do not be ignorant concerning demonic activity in your life. What is the church ignorant of today? Demonic activity. Paul says, don't be ignorant, church, concerning spiritual gifts. What is the church ignorant of today? Spiritual gifts. Paul says, church, don't be ignorant concerning the destination of the dead. And how many of us suffer with a lack or a loss of hope because we don't know what happened to them? The truth of the matter is, we don't know what the Bible says. We need to know, and we're going to know by the time we come through this. Very important. He tells us here, he says, don't be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Their sleep as a Christian, as a believer of the body, their bodies placed into the ground. But what Paul is going to show us is that that's not true concerning their spirit. James says in James 2:26 that the body without the spirit is dead. It is absolutely amazing and even a bit miraculous when you are at the bedside of a person who's dying. There's something very amazing about it. Now, it's wonderful to be near a Christian when they're going to the kingdom. There's a big difference. And in many of them, even how they die, the transition is striking. But for a moment's time, when a Christian dies, that body, according to James 2:26, the spirit leaves the body and the body's now dead. That body was only a tortoise shell, so to speak, for that spirit to dwell in. Or for the turtle, you know, the turtle lives inside the shell, you know. The shell's not the turtle. You can go out to the desert and find a tortoise shell, but where's the turtle? Well, probably in somebody's pot. There's the body. Where's the person? Don't ever confuse the person with the body. The body that we hug, love, know, and relate to is simply a carcass that explains and deals and relates to us on this level, on this plane. Yet we become so attached to it. Oh, there's John. Or Jack's dead. That is not true. That is not true. If I die today, I will not be dead. Jesus says, if a man dies believing in me, he shall live. So if I die today, I have moved. I have not died. I have moved. There he is. I'm not there. And it's a heartbreak. I understand this, and I've been there. It's a heartbreak when someone goes to the casket or to the accident scene or whatever and begins to talk to the deceased. Now, I know emotion will do that. I'm not faulting anyone for it. But it is a wonderful thing to be able to walk up to them and walk them off to the side and say, you listen here for a minute. You listen. And you got to get a hold of them. Sometimes you got to grab them by the cheeks. And you say, you listen here. He's not here. You can talk to him all you want, but he cannot hear you, though he can hear now better than ever before. And at this instant, he can see better than ever before. He's in the presence of God. For the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So when it speaks of sleep, he's talking about the appearance and the seeming attitude of the body, not the person who occupies the body. That part lives forever, and that's us, who we really are. Very important. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:6, he says, so we are always confident, are we? I hope so. Knowing that while we are at home or living in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, yes, and well-pleased, rather, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Is it true? Are we Christians and are we longing for the return of Christ? If we can say yes to that, then we've got a true perspective. Our sights on our scope are correct. But if we're a Christian and we've got one foot in the world and one foot in heaven, and we're saying things like, listen, my daughter really informed me this a couple years ago at Christmas time. We were praying, saying, oh, Lord, come back in Jesus' name. And she says, well, you know, can you like wait till after Christmas? I mean, come on, it's just a couple days away. A lot of Christians, a lot of people, oh, God, come back just after I get my degree. Just after I didn't have the heart to tell them yesterday, but Bob and Rochelle got married and they've been very good. And all of their premarital, and it was very exciting. And for the first time, they were going to kiss on the lips in front of everybody. And it was like, you know, I knew this stuff and now you know it. So don't tell them. They're away right now. I can say this because they're gone, you know. And I'm thinking, this is going to be great. I can't wait to say, Bob, you may kiss your bride. It's pretty exciting. But I didn't have the heart to say, may the Lord Jesus come back right now. And I got a feeling Bob would have maybe leaned over and said, just maybe tomorrow. Just one night, you know? No, listen, where we're going, buddy, even makes the most intimate, precious time zip, nothing. All of the ecstasy, love, and what we can experience in this world, people, put it all on the shelf. Your passions, your dreams, whatever it is, put it on a shelf and wrap it up and understand that whatever that can do for you or to you is nothing compared to one moment in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. When he smiles at us, it's going to be just fine. None of us are going to be going, Lord, you're great, and I just feel totally holy in your presence. But you know what? Doggone, I was just about ready to make that putt on that last hole. I don't think so. No regret. Are we longing to be in his presence? Do we desire to be absent from this body? Some of you young ones are saying, oh, my body's pretty cool. Just wait. Your day is so coming. That's good. He says in verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, listen, God will bring with him, underline that please in your Bible, God will bring with him. You're going to see here in a moment that Jesus Christ is God. Who's coming back for us? The Bible says Jesus is. It says right here that God will bring with him. God will bring with him. The Bible says here that the Lord himself shall descend. Who's coming? God is coming back for us. Who is God? Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 tells us that God is Jesus Christ who's coming back for us. There is no way that you can get out of the deity of Jesus Christ and him being the second person of the Trinity. And it's clear in these passages here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now listen, it says that he's going to bring with him. Where is God tonight, today? Tonight or today, it depends on where you're at, right? Where is he now? God's in heaven. Where's Jesus? In heaven. It says that when he comes, he's going to bring them with him. So where are they? They're in heaven. Where's their body? In the ground, Rose Hills. Forest Lawn. That's where the body's at, but they're not there. Why? They're there. When they're up there in heaven with him. Is there a separation? Yeah, big one. The body is here. They are there having a great time. The body's asleep. They're very much awake. Very much alert. You need to realize that. It's very important. He will bring with them, bring with him, those who have died. The sleep in Jesus is a reference for us here. Now look at this next part, verses 15 to 16 is how a church ought to go, is in the power of God. Listen to this authority. He says, for this we say, Paul says, I say to you by the word of the Lord, by the Bible itself, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. People, we come now to a very important passage here where it says in verse 15, for this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, you ought to underline we. It's the we statements of Paul. Very, very important theological point made right here. So we need to get smart here for a second and understand this, that in theological circles, what Paul declares here is what's known as the doctrine of the imminent return. Jot it down. It's important to you. The doctrine of the imminent return. How do we know this? Because Paul uses the word we, the pronoun we. Did Paul believe in a pre-tribulation rapture view of the church? For those of you who don't know what I mean, did Paul believe that before the seven-year tribulation period is coming to receive God's judgment upon the earth and those who dwell on it, did Paul believe that the church was going to be raptured up into heaven before that time happened? The answer right here, theologically correct, based upon the doctrine of the imminent return on the we statement, is Paul in the year 50 or 60 was expecting Jesus to return for him bodily. Right here. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Well, I believe in the post-tribulation rapture view. You don't have any scripture to back it up. And I say that bluntly because if you look at it in its entirety, in the next several weeks we'll cover it and maybe it'll be more clear. The church of Jesus Christ must be removed from the earth prior to the tribulation period if you understand the Old Testament. It must happen if you understand Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. But you will never understand it unless you understand how God deals with Gentiles versus how God deals with the Jews, the Jewish nation. Very important. Listen to this. Paul is so sure that Jesus is coming back, he says that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those, or we will not go up before those who have died. We'll see in a moment. Their bodies will arise first, and then we're going to come right in behind their bodies. He will be bringing the real them in spirit, soul, to meet their resurrected body in the air. We will meet in the atmosphere, and we will forever be with the Lord. It is called the resurrection, the rapture of the church. Very important. But the authority is based upon the word. It says, by the word of the Lord. Jesus said in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. That's a continuum, by the way. He's forever that. He who believes in me, that's presently, though he may die, that's futuristic, yet shall he live. That's a promise. In Job 19, verse 26, the oldest book in the world, the book of Job, Job 19, 26, Job says, after my skin is destroyed, this one thing I know, that in my flesh I will see God. He's talking resurrection. How can your flesh be destroyed and then in the end stand in your flesh and see God? The answer is resurrection by the word of the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Everybody with me on this, or am I alone having a religious experience? Listen, this is not all there is. We're just passing through, people. Remember back in the 70s, there was that bumper sticker, just passing through? That's it. That fits for the Christian life more than any other life in the world. We're just passing through. Man, we are going to glory. It's going to be great. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it. The way my life is, I'm getting more excited about it every day. He says here in verse 15 in the middle portion, he says that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. This word is parousia in the Greek. Doesn't that sound great? I love that. Parousia. It sounds like great. Parousia. The word means a drawing near physically. The word means an appearance. I find that significant because don't ever confuse the rapture of the church with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming is a coming physically. The rapture of the church is the appearance of Jesus Christ physically. There's a great difference. The second coming, he touches his foot on the ground. The rapture, he just descends in the atmosphere and receives his own bride, the bride of Christ, and goes back into the heaven, the abode of God. It's very important. They're greatly different. And you're going to know this in the next several weeks. But what a beautiful thing. The resurrection of the dead in Christ. Their bodies will rise first. They'll be lifted up out of the grave. I've always wanted to be doing a funeral on that day. Remember? Yeah, that'd be great. Can you imagine? And now we lay John's body to rest. Boing! There he goes. Hey, put him back. Up he comes. Try to put him back in. Oh, there he goes. Remember when Jesus died on the cross? In fact, it happened over the course of the weekend. Jesus died on the cross. Graves began to open up just at the hint of the resurrection. Oh, Jesus died. And the angels are probably going, okay, turn him loose. Oh, no, not yet. Get him back in. At the crucifixion, people are coming out of the ground. Matthew 27, read it later. People are coming out of the ground. And then it says after his resurrection, people are coming out of the ground. Can you imagine? Uncle John, you've been dead for 200 years. Look, he comes walking in Jerusalem. 500 people saw the dead coming up out of the graves in Jerusalem at one time. What do you do about that if you're an attorney and you just settle this guy's a real estate? I mean, this guy's a state thing. Hey, there he is. Lose your commission, I guess. I don't know. They're coming out of the ground. The bodies will come out. The word is not resuscitation. It is not reincarnation, which are non-biblical things. I was going to say events. They're not even true. They're lies of Satan, lies of the enemy. The word is resurrection. The body that goes into the ground Just like you put a bulb or a seed into the ground, that seed does not come. You don't plant the seed. Can you imagine if you took a grain of corn, stuck it in the ground, and watered it, and 5 weeks later, there is a gigantic grain of corn, like 2 feet big, and that's all it is. You go up there and kind of gnaw on it. One big kernel. Oh, boy. No, you plant the seed, and what comes up? The plant, the flower. Our bodies are like a seed. It's planted into the ground, but what comes up is a flower. You plant that ranuncula bulb, ugliest bulb you've ever seen, but I love ranunculus. They're incredible. You plant that bulb, this thing is so sick looking. You never think for your life that a beautiful ranuncula can come out of that bulb. You plant that bulb, and then that thing comes up, and it's like, man, that is not what I planted. And when God raises you from the dead, you will not be looking the same, being the same. Even though your body will be resurrected, there will be an empty spot in your casket. Gosh, I'm talking to you like you're dead. In your friend's casket. Isn't that amazing? I don't believe it. It sounds like a fairy tale. I know. Isn't it great? It's going to happen. It's going to happen, man. I don't believe it. You will. You may be on the wrong side of the whole event, but you'll believe it when it happens. I hope you're on the right side. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, Paul says, in a moment, in 18 thousandths of a second, the word is twinkling of an eye, in 18 thousandths of a second at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead, that's those guys, Paul says, the dead, not himself, the dead will rise incorruptible. And we shall be changed. That is the believer walking on earth at the time of the rapture. Paul says in another place, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. A great verse over the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll be changed. And we'll be lifted up from this earth in a moment's time. And changed. The word in the Greek is metamorpho. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. And that little caterpillar goes up your wall and spins the chrysalis, and you never think for a moment that that thing could be so beautiful and so airborne until that little thing begins to gyrate in the spring and explode into a new life. And what does it do? Fly away. God gave us that so we would understand metamorpho, the change that's coming. Tremendous. It's a picture for us. But we're not going to precede them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Live. Thanks for listening today. And if God is in us and with us, love will shine through us in all that we do. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know that you can donate to help keep this broadcast on the air? Go to our website and simply click on the Donate tab. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can donate a one-time gift if you'd like, or you can set up recurring donation. Your generous donations are what keep this ministry and Pastor Jack Hibbs here on the air. So if you do feel led from the Lord, you can donate. There are a few different ways. Just go to our website and find out more. Now, we've been telling you about the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's a free download, and once you have it, you'll have mobile access to all kinds of features and media connected to Real Radio. We've also made it real easy. We streamlined things quite a bit. Down at the bottom, you have a handful of tabs that'll take you where you need to go. For instance, the Devotions tab. Now, the Devotions tab takes you to Real Life Devotions with Jack Hibbs. And check out the Devotions tab once you download that Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.